We're continuing the story in Sipurei Maaseiot. We're in the middle of the story of the seven Betlers, and we just completed the story of the third day, the Betler that we discussed who was able to resolve the problem regarding the heart, the lathe and the mayan, the heart and the spring that were separate from each other and had tremendous deep yearning for each other. And we told the story how this Betler was able to prove to them that he was the one who actually provides days to the Ish Chesed Shel Emes, and this is how he was able to prove that even though it seems as if he's a Kvad Peh, as if he can't speak, he really has the greatest power of speech. And now we move on to the fourth Betler, which is the Betler with the crooked neck. And sure enough, again, we're in the middle of a Sheva Brachas that's taking place for a young couple that had gotten lost in the forest. And then the Betlers, the poor beggars, decided that these two would make a wonderful Shidduch. They marry them off. And when they're celebrating the Sheva Brachas after the wedding, they remember the different Betlers that they met during the time that they were lost in the forest who would come by and give them food. And they yearn desperately, if only these Betlers could be here and join with us in our Simcha at this time. And while they're going through this deep yearning, the Betler appears and says, before, when I left you in the forest, I gave you a bracha that you should be like me. Now at your wedding, I'm actually going to give you this as a gift to be like me. So now, on the fourth day of the Sheva Brachas, we said that when the Simcha of the third day was completed, they went to sleep, and the following day in the morning, this couple came back together and had a tremendous yearning for the Betler with the crooked neck. And suddenly he appeared and said, I'm here. Before I gave you a bracha to be like me, now I'm giving you a gift to be like me. And he said, you think that I have a crooked neck. In reality, my neck is not crooked at all. Just the opposite. My neck is perfectly straight. It's just that there are vapors in this world, in this materialistic world, which I don't want to have any part in it whatsoever. I don't want to release any of my breath, any of my air, into the vapors of the physical materialistic world. And that's why it seems as if my neck is crooked, because I'm holding back from participating in these vapors of this world. However, in reality, I have a perfectly straight, beautiful neck. And I have a beautiful, awesome voice. And all the sounds of the world, all the different sounds, referring to sound, not speech, but sounds that people could make, or that animals make, or that musical instruments make, all the sounds of the world, I have the ability to mimic, to emulate. Because my throat and my voice is awesome. And I have an approbation for this, I have a haskama for this, from a certain country. And now he begins telling his story, how he's going to prove how good his neck is and how good his voice is. There is a country where the people in this country are very knowledgeable in music. Every single person in the country studies music on a high level, even the little children. And there isn't a child in the country that doesn't know how to play a musical instrument. And the least advanced, the beginners in this country, the beginners in music, are more advanced than advanced musicians in other countries. And the professionals, the people who are outstanding in music in this country, are extraordinarily outstanding. One time, the wise men of this musical country got together and each one was praising himself regarding how outstanding he is in music. One said that he knows how to play such and such musical instrument. The other one said he knows how to play a different musical instrument. The third one said, I can play another instrument. Fourth one spoke up and said, I know how to play a variety of musical instruments. The next one said that I can play all musical instruments. The next one said that not only playing musical instruments, I have the ability with my voice to mimic, to copy all musical instruments. I'm sorry, to copy a particular musical instrument. The next one said, I have the ability with my voice to copy a different instrument. Third one said, I can make my voice sound like a variety of musical instruments. And the next one said, I have the ability with my voice to make it sound exactly like a drum, the beating of a drum. The next one said, I have the ability with my voice to make it sound like gunshot fire or cannon fire. And the Betler said, I was there at the time that they were having this discussion, and I spoke up and said that my voice is superior to all of yours. Because if you people are so outstanding in your knowledge of music and in your ability to play musical instruments and to emulate the musical instruments, let's see if you can help the two countries that have a major problem. These two countries are 1,000 parsa apart. They're at a great distance from each other. And in these two countries, when it becomes nighttime, nobody is able to sleep. Because when night comes, everyone starts wailing with a tremendous, shrill sound of wailing. The men, the women, the children. And the wailing that goes on there is so heart-rending that a stone would melt there from the depth of the sound of this wailing. And again, this takes place at night. And because of the fact that everyone is wailing, the men, the women, in both of these countries, because in one country they hear the sound of this wailing and they pick up on it and they will start wailing. In the second country also. And these two countries, we said, are 1,000 parsa from each other. And therefore, if you people are so knowledgeable in music and in sound, let's see if you can help these two countries. Or let's see if you can mimic their sounds to be able to give forth a sound exactly like the wailing that's being produced in each one of these two countries and thereby be able to help them. So this whole group of outstanding musicians and singers said, can you take us there? Can you bring us to this place? And I said to them, yes, I'll take you there. And they were all excited about going. Sure enough, we come to one of these two countries, and as soon as it becomes nighttime, this ceremony begins. Then all of them start wailing, and these musicians, they also start wailing. So the Betler says, it's pretty obvious that you can't help them because you yourself are getting caught up in this wailing to such an extent. And he said to them, at least if you're so knowledgeable in music, can you tell me where this is coming from? What's causing this wailing? So they said to me, and you know? I said, yes, I definitely do know. And I went on to tell them that there are two birds. One is a male, the other one is a female. And there's only one set like this in the world of these two unique birds. and the female became lost, separated from the male. And the male is involved in searching for the female, and at the same time, she's searching for him. And they were searching for each other for a long time, until both of them ended up getting lost. And they realized that they can't find each other, so they decided to establish themselves where they were. They made nests for themselves. This one made a nest for himself next to one of the two countries, not right next to it, a distance from it. However, because of the sound of this bird is so loud and powerful, it could still be heard in that country. And then the other one, the female, also made a nest near the second country, close enough where the sound of the voice of this bird can be heard there. And when the night arrives, this pair of birds, each one of them starts wailing with a tremendous, incredible wailing, each one wailing about their mate, about how desperately they feel terrible about the separation from their mate. And it's this wailing that's heard in these two countries. And it's because of the wailing of these two birds that all of the people join in this wailing, and nobody can sleep there. These great musicians didn't want to believe what he said, and they said, "Can you take us there? Can you show us where this is?" And the Betler said, "Yes, I'll take you there. However, you can't really go there, because as soon as you'll get close to there, you won't be able to withstand the depth of the wailing that's taking place. Because even over here where you are now, not next to where the birds are, you're immediately getting caught up in the wailing. So therefore, if you're going to get to the place, if I bring you close to where these birds are, for sure you will not be able to handle it." And then the Betler went on to explain, this is what takes place at night. During the daytime, you also cannot be there, because during the daytime, you wouldn't be able to handle the incredible joy and happiness that takes place there. Because during the day, all kinds of different birds gather by each one of these two, by the male and by the female, and they console them, and they raise their spirits, and they make them very happy. They tell them all kinds of words of consolation, that they are gonna find each other, to the point where during the day the joy and happiness of the consolation is so intense, to the point where it's impossible for a human being to be able to handle it. And the sound of these other birds that are consoling this pair is not heard in the distance. It's only when you get close to where they are, you're able to hear it. Whereas the sound of this team of birds, this female and male, that's something, when they're wailing at night, that's something that can be heard very far away. And that's why it's impossible to get close to there. So the musician said to this Betler with the crooked neck, "And you have the ability to correct this? You can fix this problem?" And the Betler said, "Yes, because I have the ability to mimic any sound in the world, all the different sounds, to make my voice sound exactly like that, this kind of a ventriloquism. And not only that, but I also have the ability to throw my voice in a manner where somebody's standing right next to me, even though the voice is coming from me, the sound is coming from me, someone standing right next to me will not hear it. And then a far distance away, it can be heard. And that's why I have the ability to imitate the sound of the female bird and to throw it a distance and to bring it closer to where the male is. And so too, to imitate the sound of the male bird and bring it to where the female bird is, and thereby be able to draw them close together, to be able to unite them. Who's going to believe this, though? So the Betler said, let me show you. He took them into a forest, and they heard a sound of the creaking of a door opening. Exactly, the exact kind of sound that you hear when a door that's not oiled properly and you hear it opening. They were able to hear that sound. And then they heard the door closing and a bolt being put into place to lock the door. And they heard the sound of that click, that loud click of the bolt. Then they heard the sound of a rifle shooting. And they heard the sound of someone like sending a dog to run, to go after the quarry that was being hunted. And the dog was rolling in the snow. And they heard the exact sound, the scraping sound of the dog scraping the snow. All of this they heard, and they looked around, and they didn't see a thing. No snow, no dog, no door. And they realized that this was all coming from this Betler with the crooked neck, that he had the ability to make these sounds, and to make it sound exactly like what he wanted it to sound. And then they realized that he has this ability, and also to make it sound, even though they're standing right next to him, they don't hear it coming from him, they hear it in a distance. This is as far as Rabbeinu Zal told in the story. And the Betler said, so you see that I have a proof from that country that my voice is something very, very special, and I can produce any sound in the world. And therefore, this is what I'm giving you now as a wedding gift, that you should be like me. And then there was a tremendous blast of joy and happiness, and this concluded the fourth day of the Sheva Brachas. Rav Nosson Zal, Rabbi Nachman's closest student, in several places in the Likutei Halachos, speaks about this story and gives us a little bit of insight, ramos and hints, to be able to have an idea as to how this relates to Yiddishkeit, how this relates to our connection with Hashem, how this relates to Tikkun Ha'olam, the Tikkun of the world. We know that the holiest site in the world for Klal Yisrael is the Beis HaMikdash. The holiest land is Eretz Yisrael, city is Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim it's the Harabayis. Inside you have the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash itself there were different levels of holiness. And inside the Holy of Holies, there you had the Torah, which is the whole purpose of the creation of the world. You had the Arayim, the Ark with the Luchos in it. And on top of it, you had these two bird-like images, the Kruvim. And these bird-like images were the source from which the sound of Hashem's voice would come forth, Kaviyochol. When Hashem wanted to communicate with Klal Yisrael, He did it via the Tzaddik, via Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the leader of all the prophets. And the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu received this communication from Hashem, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. The sound came from between the two cherubs, these bird-like images. The Meforshim tell us that the first letters of Mibein Shnei HaKruvim spell the word Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzaddik, the Navi, the messenger of Hashem to bring the words of Hashem to the world, to Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara points out that these Kruvim appeared in two formats. When Klal Yisrael, when the Jewish people were performing the will of Hashem, were behaving correctly, these Kruvim faced each other. There was a closeness, a bond between them. Chas v'shalom, when the Jews go against Hashem, when we commit sins, then these bird-like images would be back-to-back, implying Hashem's displeasure, dissatisfaction with us, which caused this separation. These birds, the Sifrei Kabbalah, referred to many times as symbolizing Hashem, the male bird, Kaviyocho, represents Hashem, the female bird representing the Jewish people, the Shechina, Knesset Yisrael. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the word Tzipor, which means bird, Tzadik Pei Reish, Tzadik is 90, Pei is 80, together it's 170, Reish is 200, together it's Begimatria 370, which represents the full spectrum of Hashem's light. When we speak about the radiance of Hashem, we refer to it as the 10 Midos of Hashem, the 10 Spheros, which are broken up into two groupings. The three upper ones, which are referred to as Keser, Chochma, and Bino, or Chochma, Bino, and Das, are referred to as hundreds. The seven lower ones are referred to as tens units. So that together, they're represented by this number 370. These are referred to as the Shin, Ayin, Nohiran of the Oir Aponim, the 370 lights, Kaviyochel, emulating from Hashem's face. This term Tzipor, bird, is used many times as symbolism, symbolic of Hashem, the spirit of Hashem, the Shekhinah, the Jewish people. And in our story, the separation of these birds represents the Golus, the exile, the Churban Beit HaMikdash, when there is this separation between Hashem and the Jewish people. And the Zohar HaKadosh mentions many, many times about the fact that during the daytime, daylight hours, is a time of happiness, joy, a time of chesed, kindness. The Pasuk says, Yoimam Yitzava Hashem Chazdoi, that during the day, Hashem commands His kindness, His radiance, His light. The Pasuk, Vayashkem Avraham Baboiker, Avraham Avinu woke up in the morning. Avraham Avinu, we know, is known as the Ish HaChesed. He's represented by daylight. And during the daylight hours, there is this consolation that even though we're in Golus, even though we're in exile, even though we're separated from our mate, during the daylight hours, we have the opportunity to do, to work, to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, to study Torah, and thereby bring about the unification, to help bring about the unification between Hashem and the Shekhinah. At night, we're told that when the night begins, not even when the night begins, but actually when the sun begins to set, after noon, when the sun begins to start going down, that's when the Midas Hadin begins. Judgment, harshness, that represents a time of difficulty, struggle. The Gemara says, Lo'ilam Yehiyodom Zohir B'Tfilas Mincha. A Jew should be extra careful when it comes to the Tfilah of Mincha. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, this Zahirus, this extra careful is, because this is a time of din. As the light of the sun is starting to lessen, it's starting to decrease, the sun is setting, the darkness is beginning to replace the sun, and that represents this time of wailing. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us, therefore, that the first half of the night, the afternoon, and continuing through the beginning of night, up until midnight, represents a time where the Midas Hadin, the judgment, is very severe, and the separation between Hashem and the Spirit, the Shekhinah, is so intense, so powerful, that it's dangerous for us to be awake at that time, in a sense. And therefore, for those who are able to, it's preferred that that should be a time when a person is asleep. A person is not out in the street, they're not out in the open, they're asleep, they're hiding, in a sense, from this severe Midas Hadin, this judgment. At midnight, Chatzos Laila, that's when there begins this changeover. This change, midnight represents the line of demarcation, in a sense, when we're starting to move towards morning, towards the light of day. And we're told that that's a time of tremendous Hamtokas Hadinim, when the judgment, the harshness, the severity, the intensity of the pain and suffering that Hashem is suffering and that the Jewish people are suffering in the separation between us because of the fact that we're in exile, that suffering starts to get turned around. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that from that time, from midnight on, any Jew who's privileged to get up, to be up, and to express, to take their, to share in this pain that Hashem is experiencing, that the Shekhinah is experiencing, at this separation that was caused due to our sins, due to our shortcomings, that this is one of the most important, one of the greatest avodos, one of the highest forms of serving Hashem, and kaviyochel, as if we're assisting Hashem by taking part in trying to fix, to rectify this situation. The concept of music that's mentioned here, song and music and being able to emulate the different voices, we know that when it comes to one of the most obvious examples of bringing together the male and female is at a wedding. A wedding is a time when two people who were originally forbidden to each other, separate, completely separate from each other, are being united through the ceremony, through the brachos, through the chuppah, through the kiddushin, and are being brought together. Rav Nosson Zal points out that one of the highlights of a wedding is the music, the negina, the song. That it's this power, song, music, represents such a high level of spirituality that it has the power to bring about a union, a deep, deep spiritual connection between male and female, between the heavenly male and female, between Hashem and the Shekhinah, and even human beings on earth here. We've mentioned many times, the Zohar HaKadosh says that when Leah, one of the mothers of the Jews, was giving birth to her third son, Levi, she said, "Hapam yilove ishi elai." Now, my husband will be deeply attached to me. And the Zohar HaKadosh points out that the reason why she mentioned this deep attachment when Levi was born is because the Levim are known for their song and music. And song and music is what brings about this dveikus, this deep, deep connection between two spiritual opposites being brought back together. This is one example. Another example, we know that in many respects, the holiest day of the year is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day when Hashem declares the parnasa, the whole destiny of a person for the rest of the year is declared, is announced on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is referred to as the birth date of the world, the birth date of Adam Rishon. Man was created on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which is the day that we celebrate as Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the 10 days of Tshuva. And on Rosh Hashanah, the highlight, the most important obligation and function on Rosh Hashanah is the blowing of the shofar, the sounds of the shofar, which are basically 10 sounds. We have the standard grouping of the sounds of the shofar, which consist of tekiah, shivorim, tekiah. Then there's tekiah, trua tekiah. Then there's tekiah, shivorim, trua tekiah. A set of three, another set of three, and then a set of four sounds. This unit of 10 sounds, which represent the standard grouping of the sounds of the shofar, correspond to the 10 types of song that the Gemara tells us make up the Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, which is referred to in certain respects as the most powerful book of the Torah. We know that when Jews find ourselves in any type of emergency situation, a crisis, a major crisis, even the most learned people in Torah, people who do all kinds of other different things in religion, everyone takes out the Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, because of the fact that the Gemara and Zohar HaKadosh tell us that this book of Psalms, the Tehillim, has in it the most powerful, powerful spiritual light that can rectify, that can fix any kind of problem. A health emergency, a financial emergency, a spiritual emergency, anything. Because it has the secret of these 10 types of song in it. The shofar that we blow on Rosh Hashanah serves a dual purpose. The Torah tells us, Hashem says to the Nevi'im, to the prophets, who are the messengers of Hashem to the Jewish people, the Nevi'im are the ones who are responsible for bringing the word of Hashem to us. When Hashem wants to speak to the Jewish people, Hashem is up on high, Hashem is kavyochol far, far removed from us, and Hashem has these messengers, the prophets, who bring to us the word of Hashem. The pasuk says, Hashem says to the prophets, Horem kashofar koilech, lift up your voice like the shofar, V'haged la'ami pishon, and tell my nation their sins. Meaning that the way that Hashem conveys, speaks to us, reaches us with His voice, trying to wake us up, to inspire us, as the Rambam writes, that the sound of the shofar is the message, Uru Yesheinu Mishnaschem, wake up, you who are asleep, you are spiritually asleep, wake up. This wake-up call from Hashem is the sound of the shofar. It's Hashem reaching out to us. And on the other hand, the act of us blowing the shofar also represents us reaching out to Hashem. With these sounds of the shofar, we're expressing the fact when a person is embarrassed, when a person feels genuine embarrassment and shame for things that they've done wrong, a person says, I'm too embarrassed to speak. I can't even say anything. And when a person is too embarrassed to speak, all they can do is make sounds. And the Torah tells us that it's this sound of the shofar being blown on Rosh Hashanah. This is an expression of our reaching out to Hashem, of our showing our embarrassment, feeling the pasuk is quoted, Hayitoka shofar b'ir v'am lo yechrodu. Can a shofar be blown in a city and the people don't tremble from it? We know that usually the fact when a person commits a sin, it comes from a chutzpah, an audacity, a lack of shame, a lack of recognition of Hashem, a display of total disrespect for Hashem. The shofar, which injects trembling into the person, makes us tremble, and this is our way of crying out to Hashem, that we're too embarrassed to say anything, to say what we've done. We're ashamed to put it into words, therefore we're just crying out, calling out to Hashem. This represents the sound of the Betler, who has the ability to unify, to bring them both together, to bring the sound of the male bird to the female, and vice versa, the female back to the male. Mir Tashem, in the next shir, we'll try to add a little bit to this, or add a little bit more clarity to the story of this betler, and then go on to the following days, showing how each one of these betlers is giving over to this couple a secret, a secret as to how to bring about the heavenly union, and once that heavenly union is brought about, how to be able to have their own union, how to be able to have their own marriage, be able to have this ultimate success. In terms of us, the lessons that we see here are the ability of the tzaddik in each case, that the tzaddik is the one who recognizes the problems that the Jewish people, the most important problems that the Jews have, as to how far we are, our separation from Hashem, our suffering, and Hashem's suffering in this process, and the tzaddik is the one who has the ability to correct it through his deeds, and by teaching us what we need to do in order to be able to correct this. Shabbi Zeche. This shir is being given a few days from Shavuos, the holiday of Shavuos. Shavuos is referred to as Yom Chasunosoi, the day of the wedding ceremony between Hashem and the Jews. And again, what was going on on Matan Torah? The pasuk says, "V'chol ha'om royin es ha'koyvos." The entire nation saw the sounds of Matan Torah. We refer to the sounds of Matan Torah. The koil shofar chazach moy, the sound of the shofar that was so powerful. And even on Rosh Hashanah, when we highlight the shofar, one of the major paragraphs in the Shmon Esri on Rosh Hashanah begins with the words, Ato Nigleso Banan Kloidecha Har Sinai. You, Hashem, revealed yourself to the Jewish people in your glory on Har Sinai with the koil of the shofar. We hope that through the avodas, by the preparations that we do for Matan Torah, and especially by complying with the mitzvahs of the holiday of Shavuos, staying up the night, just as we see here in this story, the theme, the most important item that was mentioned was that they couldn't sleep at night. Nobody could sleep at night because they felt so deeply the pain of the separation of these two birds. We should be zeicher that our avodah, staying up during the night of Shavuos, should serve as a tikkun, a rectification for this separation, and help bring about the coming of Moshiach, when we'll hear the final sound of the shofar being blown, the shofar that will herald our complete redemption with the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, from here of Yomeinu, Amen, Amen.